rally at the Illinois State Fair. Although labor unions have historically been backers of Democrats, protesters instead booed them and called Governor Pat Quinn a liar. Labor unions say it's time Quinn and other party leaders begin acting like Democrats. As Amanda Vinicky reports, the protests come before a special legislative session Friday, during which lawmakers are scheduled to consider cutting public employees' retirement benefits.
Governor's Day is meant to be a day of unity, a chance for Democrats from across the state to get together and energize the ranks ahead of the fall elections. The morning largely started off that way, at a breakfast held by Democratic County Chairman. Some union members were there in protest.
Honor the collective bargaining agreement, Governor.
But otherwise, the event went generally as planned. Pat Quinn got applause and even some cheers when he took the podium. He did make one misstep when he was trying to gin the crowd up to support the president.
I think everybody knows that Obama, he's gone, he's dead.
He soon realized and corrected his mistake.
Osama bin Laden. Okay.
His problems only got worse as the day wore on. After the brunch and a meeting at a Springfield hotel, Quinn hurried off to the state fair. Throngs of state workers, mostly members of AFSCME, the state's largest public employees union, were there to greet him at the gate. Illinois unions are traditionally allies of Democrats. It was with unions' money and manpower that Quinn was able to squeak out a win for the governor's office 2 years ago. Here's what AFSCME members have to say about him now.
He is breaking contractual rights and hurting working families.
You've planned your entire life for this, and then he's going to take it away?
I mean, I voted for him, and I believed what I thought he was going to do, and he's not doing it.
Would you vote for him again?
No.
That was Darlene DeMattia, a Dwight prison guard, John Lamb, a prison guard in Shawnee, and Lynn, a social worker from the Quad Cities who didn't want to give her last name for fear she'd get fired. AFSCME, as well as unions representing teachers, police, and nurses, are upset the governor's leading the charge to reduce state employees' pensions. They accuse Quinn of undermining public employees' collective bargaining rights because Quinn's suing to withhold pay raises guaranteed in AFSCME's contract. And they're angry Quinn is closing prisons and other facilities, which means thousands of their members will be laid off. The state fair was a chance for them to make their voices heard, literally. They tagged along with Quinn each step of the way. They followed the governor as he made his way through the state fairgrounds. It was like Quinn was the grand marshal of a parade, except the crowd following him was angry. Angry that the politician they helped win the governor's office was, in their view, deceiving them. Anyone who dared side with Quinn was the subject of their fury. The disgruntled state employees and retirees even booed a woman who willingly posed with the governor for a photo. State troopers and bodyguards kept the throng away from the governor. He went on talking to top aides and polished off a lunch of pork chop on a stick as if he didn't notice.
Free country. We're at the Illinois State Fair and people can say whatever they want.
But that was before Quinn led the protest parade to an open grassy lawn for the Democrats' annual party rally. It was hard to find anyone in the audience that wasn't wearing a green AFSCME t-shirt bearing some sort of anti-Quinn slogan. Even there, the protesters kept up their chanting, drowning out a country singer kicking off the festivities with an onstage performance. And they didn't let up once the rally began. Lieutenant Governor Sheila Simon was booed. The chorus of jeers got louder at the mere mention of House Speaker Mike Madigan. Both Democrats support overhauling pensions. The only real applause came when Secretary of State Jesse White took the stage and when a plane flew overhead with a banner trailing behind it that read, "Governor Quinn, unfair to workers." Nevertheless, Quinn took his turn at the podium.
Well, thank you for that warm, warm welcome. We're going to welcome everybody to our state fair. We all believe in the First Amendment and the opportunity to speak.
The National Weather Service Chicago has issued a severe thunderstorm warning for southern Ford County, southwestern Iroquois County until 1:30 p.m. At 12:40 p.m., National Weather Service Doppler radar indicated a severe thunderstorm capable of producing quarter-size hail and damaging winds in excess of 60 miles per hour. This storm was located 6 miles northwest of Gibson City and moving east at 40 miles an hour. The severe thunderstorm will be near Paxton around 1:05 p.m., Buckley around 1:15 p.m., Cisna Park around 1:25 p.m., Claytonville around 1:30 p.m., Interstate 57 between mile markers 263 and 273.
Who works for the State Department of Employment Security, says Democrats shouldn't be so sure.
Democrats, you must realize, you can no longer take our vote for granted. We will no longer be stool pigeons, and we will no longer be puppets for you all. If you're going to be a Democrat, you got to prove it to us from now on.
Robinson says she'll be watching on Friday when the General Assembly convenes for a special session Quinn has called to take up the pension overhaul. Despite her warning, Democratic Congressman Danny Davis of Chicago didn't appear worried unions would be leaving his party for the GOP.
I mean, you can't tell me that organized labor wants to get in bed with right-wing Republicans like Paul Ryan and Mitt Romney. If they think they're going to get more consideration from that group than they get from Pat Quinn and Mike Madigan and John Culleton, I don't know what planet they're living on.
Case in point, many Illinois Republican lawmakers are also clamoring to reduce teacher and state employees' retirement benefits. But don't expect hundreds of union protesters showing up for the GOP's rally today when it's Republican Day at the Illinois State Fair. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
The cable news network CNN's primetime ratings have hit record lows. The company is still making money thanks to its international presence, but U.S. viewers would rather watch its more opinionated competitors at MSNBC and Fox News. At the end of the year, the president of CNN Worldwide is going to step down. TV critic Eric Deggan says this is a huge opportunity for CNN to shake things up.
Over the years, CNN has built a worldwide reputation on reliable coverage of big breaking news.
That a plane has crashed into one of the towers.
Air raid sirens are going off in Baghdad.
There is a levee that has been breached.
We're watching a live tsunami hit Japan.
But when tsunamis and, say, the Arab Spring aren't at hand, CNN has a tough time competing with the fireworks on politically partisan rivals, like this fight between Fox News Channel stars Bill O'Reilly and Geraldo Rivera.
All right. On the backs of illegal aliens. Well, let's not go there.
You listen to me, I'll listen to you.
What, they're going
to
start shooting illegal aliens?
Now there's buzz the channel is considering new, entertainment-oriented nonfiction shows. Just don't call them reality TV. And I say one thing. It's about time. To be sure, the notion of anything close to a Kardashian getting anywhere near CNN sounds horrific. Okay, let's be honest. Given TV's usual success rate, some of these shows will be horrific. But they're also the painful path of experimentation CNN must travel to find a new voice. Look how well it worked for rival MSNBC and its one-time star, Keith Olbermann.
This is not typically a newscast of commentary. I can recall
Keith Olbermann not making commentary? That sounds like an incredible statement today. But that's Olbermann back in 2005, a year before he would begin his pointed special comment segments on MSNBC, taking right-wing Republicans to task.
The man who sees absolutes where all other men see nuances and shades of meaning is either a prophet or a quack.
It's tough to remember. Later, it morphed into a more political program as the anchor's passions changed and ratings followed. And Olbermann came at the end of a long road for MSNBC. For years, they tried shows by Phil Donahue, Michael Savage, and Jesse the Body Ventura. They kept lobbing ideas until Olbermann developed a marketable liberal voice that became MSNBC's brand. These days, CNN has the perfect place in its schedule to try similar experiments. Since they already repeat Anderson Cooper's show at 10 p.m., why not use that time slot as a primetime laboratory for unusual, even unreliable ideas that might revitalize its voice? Of course, one recent CNN experiment didn't turn out so well. That's former New York Governor Eliot Spitzer, hired in a hurry back in 2010.
The new 8 o'clock on CNN. Parker Spitzer, weeknights on CNN.
Spitzer came with too many problems. He hadn't been on the channel much before, was damaged by a prostitution scandal, and debuted at 8 p.m. in the most competitive time slot on cable TV. He lasted less than a year. But listen, CNN, don't wig out because you had one bad experience. If you're trying hard, there'll be lots of those to come. If all else fails, I hear there's a certain TV critic in Florida who has a few ideas.
And that TV critic would be Eric Deggans of the Tampa Bay Times.
Support for today's broadcast comes from the City of Urbana, presenting Urbana's Market at the Square. The market opens at 7 a.m. featuring Illinois-grown produce, fresh flowers and plants, baked goods and food, and original works of art at the corner of Illinois and Vine Streets in downtown Urbana. Information online at urbanaillinois.us/market.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 16th of August, 2012. It's the anniversary of the great geomagnetic storm of 1989, which particularly affected computers across Canada and which shut down the stock market in Toronto when the primary and backup computer systems at the stock exchange failed one right after the other. A geomagnetic storm caused by an increase in solar flares, which in turn produced a CME, a coronal mass ejection, high levels of solar radiation toward the Earth, which affected microchips and caused computer problems across North America. A similar storm the previous March had taken out the Hydro-Quebec power grid. Now that scientists are aware of the effects of geomagnetic storms, they monitor solar activity and keep an eye out for these events, which usually take about a day and a half to reach our atmosphere, a lead time that allows them to take power grids and satellites offline, protect them from permanent damage. It's the birthday of Charles Bukowski, born Andernach, Germany, 1920. His father, an American soldier, his mother was German. They moved to Los Angeles. The boy grew up there, scrawny kid, frequently attacked by bullies. Published his first book of poetry, 1959, entitled Flower, Fist, and Bestial Whale. Charles Bukowski, who said, "Bad luck for the young poet would be a rich father, an early marriage, an early success, or the ability to do anything well." It was on this day, 1896, gold was discovered in the Yukon Territory in Canada, and the Klondike Gold Rush was on. Three miners found the gold in Rabbit Creek near Dawson. Word spread among the locals. People came in to stake claims. But it took a long time for the news to reach Seattle and San Francisco. It took almost a year. But when it did, 100,000 people set off for the Yukon to try to make their fortunes. A few thousand of them struck it rich, and the rest got nothing. Famous photographs of long lines of prospectors and their pack animals trekking over the snowy mountains.